Good morning, each of you. James, that was a good challenge for us to, no matter what area of life and whatever thing, obviously you touched on a lot of points, but it was convicting to me to realize that in every area of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ knows absolutely everything about us. And that isn't necessarily a fear. It's kind of a joy to know that he understands us, but it should be a fear for you if you're hiding things in your heart and you're trying to sidestep the Lord. It should move you to repentance, to know that God sees everything. Everything. That's very thought-provoking. So it is my desire to live that kind of life where what I say and do, that I would have the Lord Jesus Christ in mind. After all, that's really what we're only, that's the only reason we're here, right? We're running through this race for it to end, and one day we'll wake in the presence of the Lord, is what the Bible says. It says, then there's judgment. Some days if you face, as a Christian, you can long for that. That day. We long for that day because we want to go home and just be done with, want to be safe now. We want to be within the borders of God. Safe. No more warfare. So if you're not a Christian today and you think about the end, judgment to come, are you going to go into a safe, secure harbor at the end of your life? Or are you not sure? If you're not sure, that is not the way God wants it. He wants you to be 100% sure. 100% sure that when you pass from this life, you can safely enter into the rest that he has provided for his people. So, anyway, this morning I have some thoughts that I trust are from the Lord. But as I was sitting there this morning, and I was asking the Lord for direction and understanding, and which way that I should go, what should I share, what are the words that you want me to speak, these verses stood right out to me, and they're in Psalm 17, verse 2 and 3, it says, let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and let thine eye behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. So, I want to say that because truly in my heart, today when I stand before you, it is not my desire that my mouth would transgress the Lord. It is not my desire that the things that I speak are not aligned with God. So if you're in the crowd today, tell me. If they don't align, tell me. Because I truly desire to have a pure heart and speak the things that it says that the sentences coming forth out of my mouth would be from the presence of God. Now, of course, we can just get extremely over-spiritual with that, but all I care about today is that the words I speak are pure and that they point you to Christ. They point you to a better walk with Him. Nothing else. So if for some reason you go home and I don't know what you may take home, but remember that my heart is pure and I desire to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in some way. So So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to just sit under your word and the singing, and just the encouragement, Lord, to analyze our hearts and look and see the things that we do and say on this earth, that we would recognize that you are ultimately seeing everything, even the thoughts that go through our mind. Thank you that you can help us through these things at times, Lord. But for the sinner today, I pray that you would put conviction on his heart, that his sins would stand out, that he would see how lost and how hopeless he is without you, and that at the end of life, there's no secure harbor for him unless he surrenders everything. Help us to remain there all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I titled the message, Building or Being in a Secure Harbor. Building or Being in a Secure Harbor. So thinking about that, I thought, well, why is this so important? To talk about our home and our family. And I thought, well, maybe this is not even really, you know, necessary. But then as I went back through and just refreshed my memory of scriptures and the context in which a lot of scriptures are wrote, I was encouraged that God's heart is primarily in the family. God's heart has put God has put a lot of value on the family. And some of the reasons that I would believe he's done that is consider the teachings in the New Testament of how fathers and mothers are to relate one to another. And it talks about in the New Testament how that fathers are to relate to their children and children to their fathers and mothers. And it talks about in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, if a man desires to take a wife, he says that he is supposed to care for the things of this earth, how that he should please his wife. And he says that it's gonna put his ministry in second place. He's not going to be able to be what he was before. Is that not what the scripture says? It says that he is going to have to care for his wife more than he's going to have to care for being a minister. And of course, that can be taken out of context. But I think God has a lot of importance on family. And also, his leaders in the Church of God are qualified through this entity. So it puts a lot of importance on us as homes and families. And if it wasn't more important to God, then he would just establish this church and a couple guys go here, and you're the man to do this and that. But no, he says it needs to be qualified through this entity. So there's a lot of importance there. Anyway, I think God's heart is with us in our families, in our desire to raise our families. I believe he's with us. I think he sets the standard high for us. And I think we haven't been left without a plan. Say, well, we want you to have a family, but it's really not that important. I don't think that's God's heart for the family. And so I just titled the message, Being in or building a secure harbor. So I don't know, thinking of your childhood or your family, how many of us feel like I'm not asking you to answer this, but how many of us feel like we grew up in a secure harbor as a child, in a home where there was security and there was trust? And there was respect. And there was a safety where you grew up. Well, I feel like at large, I would say I grew up in a somewhat secure home. But I remember many times as a child going to bed at night, laying down to sleep, and just wondering if my mom and dad are they gonna start talking to each other again? Are they gonna make up? This has been going on for weeks. Is this thing gonna pass? And the tension in our home was heavy and scary at times because we didn't know where our security was. Dad and mom were quiet. They were tight. And it went for weeks. And we weren't secure. Now, of course, I speak that openly. My dad and mom are born-again believers and love God. And this is an open conversation. I'm not criticizing my parents. I love them. My wife, on the other hand, grew up in a completely different home. Not ideally, not a Christian home, but secure. She was secure. And so, learning how to be a dad and build a secure harbor. My desire is that my children are secure. Secure, they're safe. They can trust us. So I had give Johnny a couple pictures of just, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know a lot about harbors. But I was just thinking of this harbor. What is a harbor? It says a harbor is a sheltered body of water that protects boats and ships from strong currents and high waves. It allows for a transfer of passengers and cargoes between shores and ships. It's a body of water that is protected. It says it allows for ships and boats to come in and exchange goods and bring life to the people around it. It transfers passengers. But ideally, the harbor is set in a place where it can protect against the current and the tides and the high waves. So we can all ask ourselves, is our harbor doing that? Is my harbor doing that? Is it protecting against the high waves? Is it holding out the current that pulls us out to sea? Consider the harbor that is safe. Ships are out at sea and they navigate directly to that opening from thousands of miles away. And they know that in that harbor, it's safe. It's a safe place that I can go and I can put my anchor down. I can actually get a good foundation for my anchor, that I can establish a safety for my ship. And so I ask myself, is that the harbor that my children have? I ask myself, can they go out to the waters and know that back there, through that opening, it's safe there? I can sail straight for that harbor, and I can make it there, and when I get there, I can put my anchor down, and I'm safe. That puts a burden on my heart as a dad. So as we go through this day, let's be honest about our harbor. Is it safe inside these walls? Psalms 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilent that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And so that's a picture of us putting our going in and being safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at the exit of the New Testament, Malachi said that in this new era, he said, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And he'd done that because he wants this harbor that we have to exemplify what he wants with us personally. That fathers and sons love each other. That daughters and mothers respect and love each other. And that out of this harbor, there's life going out. Out of this harbor, there's life for others. When them ships come in and unload their massive barges of grain, it goes out into the communities and brings life. This harbor is not just for us to have a nice time. This harbor is to bring life to our communities and to the people around us. It's to exemplify the relationship that we personally have with God. He says in the last verse of the Old Testament, this thing that's coming, I want it to draw hearts of fathers and sons together. Just for that purpose? I don't think so. I think it simply wants us to be an exemplify what He wants personally with us. A relationship. And in this harbor, if a ship shows up and there's no relationship, no communication, it's chaos, right? Imagine if a ship tried to come through that door and there's just zero communication. What do you want here? What do you have on your ship? You see, inside this harbor, we communicate, we talk, we're free, it's clean. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. Some of the things that, as I looked up, some of the requirements for practical harbors is, I have five things. It's not all inclusive. I have the first thing: the harbor offers protection from storms and waves. Second thing, the harbor has depth. It's deep enough to prevent ships from touching bottom or bottoming out or just giving up. It's done. They can't even get back out. They're stranded. This harbor has some depth to it. It's big enough. It has some space to where a ship can actually come in and maneuver and find a good, solid location. And there again, be secure. It's a holding grounds. And an interesting thing is, the note that I made, it says, it needs enough space that the harbor should be spacious enough for ships to maneuver and ride at anchor. Kind of a unique thought. It's a holding ground. The bottom of the harbor should provide good holding ground for anchors. It should not be too rocky, too muddy, too sandy. It is to minimize currents and tides. They often have to do what they call dredging. They dredge in the process of removing sand and sediment from the harbor's bed to keep shipping channels deep and free of silt, stuff that'll just let the anchor loose. So on protection, these are just practical points that we can ask ourselves, myself, is our home a place of protection? There will be storms. This home is not going to be set up in such a way that, okay, now there's no storms. No harbor is free of the storms. They're going to be out there. But is the harbor protected from the storm? Will the ship be washed out to sea when the storm comes in? Because ultimately, storms lead to destruction. So, these are not things I'm going to do, but these are things that we can do. What are some storms that come against your harbor? And when I say harbor, I'm talking about our homes. Storms that just beat at our home, and they don't give us no rest. And the list is endless. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're in a harbor. Maybe you don't really like your harbor. Maybe you wish your harbor was just a little better. Or maybe you don't like those walls that protect you. I don't know. And maybe you look for every chance to just step outside those walls. And you're just waiting for an opportunity to jump outside the walls. Sinner friend, the sea could one day wash you all the way out. Consider your ways. Maybe that harbor is there for you to help you on to God. I know it is. Maybe you're constantly pushing against that harbor, them walls. Maybe you have schemed a good enough plan that you actually was able to make a small hole that isn't even by the doorway. Maybe it's over there. And you've made a hole in your harbor. And now the harbor is no longer safe. Why is it no longer safe? The currents and tides can flow through your hole that you dug out. And maybe you're strong enough to stay away from that hole. But maybe your little brother, maybe your little sister will be washed through the hole. What are you doing in your harbor? A lot of times we put a lot of weight on mom and dad. It's mom and dad, mom and dad. You got to build this harbor. But you can actually help build it. You can actually help build it. You can actually help maintain it. You can actually help repair it. I think it's in Psalms that says that they stood at the gates and resisted the enemies. I don't know if I know the verse exactly, but it was talking about children. So help build these harbors. Help us. We're together in this journey. Help us build these harbors that they're safe. That one of your siblings ain't washed through a hole out to sea to be lost. No matter the reason you've wished to wiggle out of that harbor, it is never safer outside the harbor. No matter the reason, it's never safer outside the harbor. But parents, me, is it a place where they can actually maneuver and be safe and be secure? Or have you left a pirate ship right through the entrance? Have we left someone in our harbor? Have we left something in our harbor that no longer gives this place a place of protection? There's depth and space. A safe home has to have adequate depth, length, width, for you to be able to comfortably maneuver. As a child, he has to be free. He has to be able to laugh. He has to be able to talk. He has to be able to have fun. He has to not be threatened by his daddy. He can't be scared of his dad. Is your children, are they scared of you? Or can they move about? Do they have liberties in your house the same as you? They can go into the kitchen. They can go into the living room. They live here. They're yours. They're mine. We're all together. Or are they scared of you? I don't know. But a child that's scared is not in a safe home. It's not in a safe harbor. Is your child scared? Can he comfortably maneuver in your home? Or is he always looking over his shoulder for you? That's not a safe place. That's not a safe place for your children. A home or a harbor that is so small that only the harbor owner can fit in brings no value to anyone. Consider if a man went and built one of these harbors and he made it exact size for just his ship. I mean, yeah, it's kind of neat. His boat certainly won't go out to sea, but he can't influence anyone. He can't bring life to no one because it's so small. You have to open our hearts. We need accountability. We need people to come into our harbors and bring us fresh food, to bring us new things, to give us life. We can't be stagnant in our harbors. We need to allow others to come in and say, hey, this is not exactly going to work tomorrow. To come in and actually help us repair our harbors. We can't be so small that no one else can come in and help us. It's just me and my little tribe, and it becomes a stagnant, dead harbor where life does not come out of it. Can't be too shallow. In your harbor, to one place that I remember as a child, that indicated a lot of security is if our evening suppers were free, where everybody was just happy, and they were talking, and there was laughing, and there was smiling. But when the table is quiet, and people are nervous, people aren't sure, that's not a safe place. Does it happen? Sometimes. And it hurts us. We don't like that. But if this is the lifestyle in your harbor, where the supper table is quiet and there's tension, it's possible that a pirate stole something through the front door. He just took it out to sea. A supper table would determine depth. And that's a term of speech. Obviously, the Lord in our homes, in our harbors. But sometimes we can see where we're actually at by how free everything is at the supper table. It's a holding ground. Home is designed to be an anchor for you in a storm. Sometimes parents put restrictions and boundaries and guidelines inside this harbor. Sometimes when the guy at the gate, he tells him, I want you to park right here because I have another ship coming. And he's got to unload from this side, and I can't have you in this dock because we're not gonna. We're gonna have chaos. And what if the ship says, you know what? I don't care what you say. I'm gonna go to this dock. The other ship comes in, and he don't know what he's doing. So sometimes in our harbors, don't resist restrictions and guidelines. And boundaries. These anchors are designed to hold you, not your soul. This home is not going to save you in eternity. But this home is designed for you to be able to put down some of your lifestyle anchors. You just say, all right, this is where I live, and this is where I'm going to put this anchor down. It can sometimes help you make choices. that sometimes we naively make in our incompetence. We just make a choice. Sometimes this harbor can really help make a good choice, but you got to put your anchor there. I never want you to go home and think that this anchor is Jesus Christ, this harbor. And if your children are in line in your home, then they all go to heaven. That's not what I said. They need to have the anchor of their soul, which is Jesus Christ. But if you resist putting your anchor inside your harbor, I think it hinders you from having your anchor in Christ Jesus. Currents and tides. So a current is moving water that goes back and forth. So that wall stops that. It stops the washing and swashing and sloshing of water just coming in and beating that ship. While they're unloading grain, it can prevent spills. It can prevent damage to the ship. It can prevent all kinds of things because it stops the moving of water. It can help with water moving up and down because it's got such a small channel and it doesn't let as much water in as it's out there at the sea. So it's more level. It's more consistent. So however you want to apply these things in our lives, consider your home. How big is the door? How big is the door? It will determine how even and calm your waters are. Some currents and tides in our lifestyle or in our life, some of these currents and tides in our life are in practical ways. What are things that want to come in? And maybe they come in through the hole that was drilled last month, right, just above the water level. Got a little hole drilled there, and that way I can get out if I want to get out. Just a little one. And maybe the current brought something through that. What is it? You know, James mentioned a lot of practical things, and those are very good. But in our hearts, we know, and he said that, we know what we're carrying. Fathers, we know what we have left, maybe through the front door. We know what we've left. We know that. And sometimes once we've done it, it's like, oh, I got to get this out of here. And we have to work to get it out. We have to work to repair it because we're out in the storm trying to close off the hole. And sometimes the hole is unsuccessfully repaired and it opens back up and in comes more. But nonetheless, we strive. Close the hole. Because we don't want the current. We don't want the current age moving into our harbor. Because it does not bring us closer to Jesus Christ. Sometimes when there's a riptide out at sea, people panic. But a lot of times, when you're out in the water, it's kind of hard to see a riptide. Sometimes it takes someone up on a chair, a little bit over there, maybe sitting off the side of the water, watching. It's like, there's a riptide over there. And you're like, we don't see them. But sometimes it takes a dad and a mom to help protect our children from riptides. Unfortunately, once we get in a riptide, we panic. And a lot of times, short of rescued, you go out to sea. Short of being rescued, you go out to sea. So let someone else show you where the riptides are. It's okay. It's a safety for you. It's a safety for you. There's a riptide over there. Then you just go over here and swim. And you never get pulled to sea by that riptide. You know, maybe as parents, we need to look at what friends come through the gate and make their abode in our harbor. Because sometimes, I'm sure there's times where ships showed up at the wrong harbor and they didn't have a place at the dock. There's no place here for you. I'm only using theory. I mean, I'm sure that's happened. This is not where you were supposed to be. I don't have room. I don't have room for this. I've got precious cargo on their way. I've got precious cargo in this harbor that I can't take a risky boat full of I don't know what. Maybe pirates. No, stay out. I think it's okay to do that. I've often thought of, why is a harbor's opening so small? And I've often thought of, in a practical illustration, like in our houses, you know, obviously for weather purposes, but we don't have a 21-foot front door. Because nothing that big needs to come through. We have big enough that we can watch it. The door's open. Shut the door. Who's at the door? Have you ever been in your house and you're like, you hear somebody knock? Everybody just, who's at the door? Right? We do that. We should do that when the pirates are knocking at our doors. Who's at the door? Who's in? Who's coming in? But a lot of times, we give them a 20-foot opening, which is unfortunate. Then we war to get them back out. Whatever that is, I face some things, you know. Oh, we got to get this out of here. But somewhere in the journey, we gave them access to our harbor. They came in. And you know, Titus 2 says that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. This is a New Living Translation. It says it's training us to renounce ungodliness. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Inside this harbor, as a harbor, the keeper of this harbor, that should be our passion. That should be our passion, that salvation has come to this house and the grace of God has appeared. It has taught me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust that I might live righteously and soberly in this present day. It's training us in this way. That's what the grace of God is doing. It isn't making our front door bigger. It's teaching us to observe. Be careful. How? Why? Because it wants us to live righteously and soberly. That's the grace of God in us. So if you don't have a desire to live righteously and soberly and live an upright life and you don't have an ounce of denying of that ungodliness, where is the grace of God in your heart? Because that's what it does to the sinner. When he gives it all to Jesus, you're like, I'm done. You deny it. And you go another way. Dredging. It is necessary to maintain navigation. They dredge out the waterways. They keep them clean. They keep the channels and harbors clear of boats and ships to keeping channels and harbors clear for boats and ships to pass through safely. There's not a lot of debris and garbage underneath there that's just underneath the surface getting ready to wrap around their propellers and stall them. They go deep. They get down and then they dive and they're like, what's under here? That rock is going to wreck him. And they dredge it out. They pick it up. They bust it up. They bring it up with machines and they take it out of the harbor. They do a thing called environmental remediation, removing of pollution and contaminants from water and soil. These waste products are removed for the protection of human health as well as to restore the environment in the harbor. Because they bring a lot of goods in this harbor that they can't have contaminated environment with ships of wheat, and barley, and rice, whatever it is that's going to go out and bring life to the communities. They don't want it contaminated. So they remove sand and silt, sediments in our lives. Let's do that. Let's be honest. What has settled in your harbor? In my harbor? What has settled in there? If it's not supposed to be there, dredge it out. Let's do it together. Let's dredge it out. Because it's not safety. It's not secure. It's not a place of rest. Because ships are coming in and the children are dodging the rocks. And it creates a real chaos. It says to blast out deep-rooted rocks like pride. Pride in our homes is a killer. If we as dads are too proud to just say, I tell you what, guys, I am sorry. I really botched that. I'm sorry. I think that's a really good way to dredge our harbors. Just be humble. I messed up, guys. I really messed up here. Humility is a really good tool to dredge out our dirty harbors. Maybe there's hidden loves and yearnings in your harbor that pulls us out around the borders and out into the sea. And then we try to sneak back into these harbors and pretend that this is a nice, safe place. These hidden loves and yearnings, when we go out, some of what's out there stays on us when it comes back in. Unless you're truly 100% ready to surrender all and repent. Some of what you went out to get stays on you. No matter how much you think, I went out, but I got it all off, and now I'm back in the harbor and everything's good. Some stayed on you. And you brought it into the harbor. And you are polluting the home. Colossians 3 mentions some big rocks. It says anger, malice. These are things for dads and moms. They're real things. Because sometimes they're just the drudge. We sometimes are not always where we should be. Sometimes anger rises up. But it isn't supposed to be in our harbors. As much as I want to make an excuse for my own self. But it's not supposed to be in there. We got it from outside the wall. And we left it come in our harbors. And it's wrecking our harbor. Anger, malice, deceit, filthy communication. What kind of filthiness is in our harbor? It's polluting a safe place where life is to be brought forth. God's word is a really good tool to go to. It's the dynamite that you can blow up all those nasty rocks and that filthy talk and that pride and that anger. Just surrender to the word of God. Give your heart completely to it. And I like to think of it as the dynamite that goes under that water and just blows that stuff out of here. I don't want nothing to do with this silt and this sin and the sickness. That's just polluting my harbor. Total repentance. Total repentance. God's Spirit will do that for us if we surrender. Little sins add up very quickly, and they'll take you farther out there than you want to go. Think of sin as being an insignificant grain of sand, too tiny to matter for anyone to care. Yet, When it is not taken care of, it will accumulate and is capable of overtaking the entire heart and life till one is lost. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, a safety, a net, a harbor. That's the gift of God. That is the contrast of the wages of sin. What do you like about your harbor? You know, sometimes our harbor is not always rolling real smooth. And I'm like, steal. But then if I step up and I realize how nice it is inside my harbor and how much I love this harbor, it's a refreshing thing. I remember growing up as a child, and I remember hoping that my mom and dad could just get along. Just get along. Just be happy. And I was little. Our children want us to get along. They want us to love each other. They want us to be happy. They want us to be smiling. They want us to love where God has us. I remember my dad one night was pretty upset. And I remember I was in the bathtub, so I was a small guy. And I was young enough that I wasn't taking my own baths. And my mom was bathing me. And I asked my mom, I said, is Dad going to leave? And of course my dad was not going to leave. He was going to be there for good. But I was scared. I was scared. If you think a child cannot sense separation and pain and bickering and arguing and fighting and coiling in our homes, they can. I was little. I don't even remember how old I was. And my mom said, Nate, Dad's not going nowhere. And he wasn't. But I was scared. Is your home a place where you can come home and refuel? Where you can get more strength to go back out? Or is it a place where you just put up with it? I'll be here till morning and go back to work. I don't know. I don't know how you live. I trust. I shouldn't say that. I trust this morning that your home is a place of rest. But I know what the enemy doesn't like, and he doesn't like these harbors to be safe. He don't like these harbors to be clean. He doesn't like that. I'm confident this morning that if he can break down the harbors, the homes, there is no more churches. So we can long try to clean up these churches and these churches and these churches and these churches and these churches. But the harbors are dirty. The churches will never be clean. Do you refuel in your home? Or do you put up with your home? Do you rest when you get there? Or are you nervous? The strength that you lost out there, is it gained in your harbor? Do you unload the load that you picked up out there? Just the weight. I need to get this off. Honey, I cannot carry this anymore. This is what happened today. And you unload and you sit down for an amazing meal and you're free. That's what this harbor is designed to do. It's to help us on to God. It's not a restrictive, militant place where you can't have nothing and I'm going to die inside this harbor. It's just terrible. It's a place where you can be filled with life. Where you can unload your burdens. a safe place, a security that no child can live without. No child can live without. So consider our families as they're in our harbors. That's why we do this. There's no big rewards on this earth, is there? Other than we have joys and excitements. But it's a warfare to maintain this harbor. Consider your home. Consider our children. And a couple questions I had in closing is, how will they launch from your harbor? Because one day, they will go and build their own harbor. And I know there's a lot of young parents in here, and your children are this tall. And it seems like a long time away. But put these principles in our hearts that someday they'll launch out of your harbor and they will build a new harbor. Will they build it like you've built it? Are you okay with that? If they build their harbor just like I built mine, who are they going to leave with? Will they leave angry? Will they leave dissatisfied? Will they leave unhelped? Will they leave with a pirate? Will they leave with a stranger? Or will they leave being led by God? How far will they sail in the open waters? And to remember, as a young man and woman, children in here, you can be a big asset to building a safe harbor. If you're tearing down these walls, you need to repent. Fathers, if you don't have any walls and you're not caring about the protection of your home, you need to repent. Because this is designed to push us further and take these souls and launch them out to safely build another harbor. The waters are never fair. They are often rough. They are unforgiving. They require a course. Know where you're going when you leave the harbor. Because the waters will if you don't have a course, they'll get you somewhere. But you'll be very disappointed. And just remember, in Isaiah 60, it talks about the restoration of Israel. And it says in there that when these people surrendered, he said he gave them gold for their bronze. When they turned in their bronze, he gave them gold. You might think today that I've got this bronze and I've got this silver and I've got all these nice things. I'm not going to surrender my heart. I assure you today that if you give to God everything you have, he will give you something of greater value. Amen? He'll give you something of greater value. That's all I have. God bless you.